Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion.
Ryan Champion, hello.
Good evening. Well, it is just you in that little booth, isn't it? Because I'm not in that little booth, but I am with you nonetheless.
You're kind of in a supportive manner, it has to be said. Do you know, for those of you who are listening live, by the way, and I realise if you listen to this on the podcast, it means absolutely nothing to you, but I've had a nightmare getting in. But I listen to a very, very specialist radio station called Six Music over here in the UK. As I was on the road, stuck in traffic, they played a particular tune which rally fans will be able to appreciate. See whether you can recognise this. I'll drop down our bed now. Let's just bring that down. Do you recognise that particular tune, Ryan?
I'm going for Top Gear Rally Report.
It is Top Gear Rally Report, but it was by a band called Jewel. And that's who originally produced it.
I don't know that bit.
Yeah, no, I did, but I just thought it was really apt. I'm coming over to do Absolute Rally, and they play that particular piece of music.
So I just remember William Woolard sat on a desk with a leaderboard behind him, you know, changing as he was presented.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe that could be us in the future. Maybe we need some sweaters. I don't know. But anyway, listen, we're only here for 56 minutes. We need to crack on here. News. As ever, we all start the programme with a little bit of news. We're going to talk about Rally Germany very shortly. And we've also got Craig Breen joining us. And if you've got any questions for Craig, by all means, tweet us at @absolute_rally or get in contact via the Facebook page. But a couple of things I wanted to touch upon from Germany. Robert Kubica.
Yeah, he had a difficult weekend again, didn't he? It obviously started badly with an engine penalty for a change of engine, and it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because he seems to have his more than his fair share of unreliability with his car, but they got the engine sorted, and then he struggled with understeer and went off the road. So it isn't what we hoped to see. We didn't see any speed at all from him, did we?
I think what's interesting is obviously, you know, the moment he had where he came off the road and ended up on the road below. Gee, that was I dare say lucky, or skill or judge, I don't know, but luck definitely had an element as part of it. But I think what's interesting is obviously they've already made the decision because of obviously they have to make the decision on getting the car ready for Australia. They've already decided not to go to Australia for Robert to concentrate more on the next two tarmac rallies and kind of focus on them. And I thought it was really interesting, and again I'm quoting from Motorsport News today, that in order for him to prepare and obviously still be considered maybe for a drive next year, I'm not seeing that.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think his program is funded by Lotus, isn't it? The Polish oil company, I believe. If somebody will correct me if I'm wrong there, but I think it's pretty much self-funding anyway, his program. But yeah, he needs to show some speed again before he can start talking to sponsors about a program for next year. And it's a shame because we've seen incredible flashes of brilliance from Robert Kubica, and yet that just seems to have disappeared now. And we seem to be seeing him each rally have it unreliability, then go off the road, and we're just not seeing that that lightning pace, which is a real shame.
Funny enough, kind of linking on, Thierry Neuville is kind of perhaps falling into that category now as well. It was interesting, some of the things that Gilles said last weekend, obviously with the inter-driver rivalry that is going on at Hyundai at the moment, and obviously the bosses, Alain Panas of Hyundai, Shell Hyundai World Rally Team, has come out and some quite interesting things with regards to Thierry's performances. I read online earlier on Max Rally, it was quite a scathing interview, and then they kind of brought it back round saying, you know, really happy that he got fifth, but definitely questioning some of the things that went on Finland. He was quoted as saying that there was people out watching on Finland, and there were people that they had watching were former drivers and people who know the sport who said that Thierry visibly looked off where he was this time last year, and they can't seem to get an answer from either him or his co-driver, or I quote his entourage, of what is going on.
Yeah, interesting one, isn't it? He definitely, again, Novella's shown absolute brilliance. You know, he has shown that he can take the fight to the world's best, and that does seem to have disappeared a bit recently. But I thought what was interesting was that Novella's comment that he didn't want to push harder than the car would go. And ultimately in Germany, he had a big battle with Danny Sordo, who's respected as a tarmac specialist. So the pair of them were having a big battle to be top Hyundai. Well, they're either both going slowly or they were both going as fast as the car would go. So, I don't know. Yes, it's true that we maybe haven't seen the brilliance of Neville recently, but he can't have been going that slowly if he was pushing Sordo. So, you know, is that the team trying to raise his game a little bit? Is that as fast as the car would go? I'm just not sure.
Has his form dipped? Obviously, there was the accident, I think, in Argentina, which probably, well, will have an effect. But since his M Sport talk, it all around a similar time, wasn't it, really? I just wonder whether, has he had his head turned? You know, yeah. Is there an element to that? You know, it happens, doesn't it? It happens in most sports where, you know, somebody's quite happy within a team or whatever, but suddenly they get their heads turned and, you know, it's one of those things where he's starting to think about next year already and you know, maybe he is, maybe he isn't.
I think it's definitely an interesting one because he hasn't shown that lightning speed and we've seen from Hayden Padden in a lesser spec car that you know, he's putting some incredible times this year, and we haven't seen that from Thierry Neuville. But you know, as he said, I'm driving to what the car will do. I don't want to take risks. But I don't know, if you're wanting to compete at the very top level, surely you have to take risks to get the speed. But as much as Pernier was saying that, you know, it was interesting that Michel Nandon is, you know, the overall team boss was trying to play it down a little bit and saying that that Neville's very much part of Hyundai plans for 2016. Don't know, an interesting one, isn't it? Well, I don't think we've heard the last of this one.
No. But again, as I said to Julesy last week, I like the soap opera feel to it. I think sometimes it can be a bit too clear cut, and you know, motorsport's gone that way. And this is where I suppose we all cry out for characters. I suppose this is where characters come through. You know, I think Julesy was saying last week that he mentioned to Hayden about, obviously, Thierry mentioned about times and things like that and his preparation, and you know, Hayden saying, well, he needs to focus on his own things, and, you know, he doesn't want to be coming over trying to psych me out and stuff like that. And I like that, and I think it needs to happen. And you and I both know, if your teammate's doing that to you, they feel threatened by you. Now, that's never happened to me, so I can ask you about that.
I don't know if I was ever in a threatening position with teammates as such.
I was only a threatening position when I had a tyre iron in my arm, but still, there you go.
But it's definitely your yardstick, isn't it, you know, to see how you're going. But again, going back to that, Neville didn't perform badly against Sordo. Like I said, the tarmac expert. Now, yes, we know Sordo maybe isn't rally-winning pace from the fact that he was runner-up to Loeb so many times, but it wasn't like Neville was minutes off Sordo's pace, but that spark does seem to be missing at the minute.
Yeah, now one man who was performing rather impressively is Stefan Lubev. First outing in a WRC, obviously won the Junior World Championship last year, and which got him an R5 car, and his performances in that R5 car seem to have got him into a World Rally car on Germany, and steady away would be probably not quite doing justice, but a very, very good, solid job, and Citroën, I'm sure, will be happy with a Frenchman doing a very, very good, solid job in one of their products.
Yes, it's funny, isn't it? Last week we talked about how people seem to miss their sell-by date, their use-by date, if you like, and drivers drop out of the hierarchy. Well, it wasn't long ago since Sebastian Chardonnay was the shoe-in for Citroën, and now suddenly we're talking about Lefebvre, so that's an interesting one. But yeah, he certainly did a good job, he did a solid job, and he did exactly what he needed to do. The last thing he really needs to be doing is setting one good time and then going off the road. So he got to the end of the rally, and you know, and about, we always talk about it, WRC relies on your experience and building experience, and you know, he certainly put a good building block in place to build upon in the future for any other outings. But I did also see that Maton said that you know, there isn't any budget in place to run three cars next year. So again, we're talking about upcoming Citroën drivers, but how do they break into the team depends what happens at the sharp end with Rosberg and Meek, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's still, well, Chris, obviously we'll talk briefly about that now. I think obviously Chris was the only one on stage times that seemed to get anywhere near the Volkswagen boys, but there's just that moment again, isn't there? There's just that moment again.
There is. You know, I talked on Twitter about this today. I mean, I read David Evans's article in Motorsport News this week, and I agree with what David had to say that, yes, Chris is still making mistakes and he can't afford to carry on making mistakes, but ultimately, bar maybe Hayden Padden, he's the only one who's shown the outright speed to challenge the Ogiers or the Latvalas of this world this year. You know, Meek is the only one who's consistently done it, and there's no two ways about it. The Citroën isn't quite a Polo, it isn't quite a match for the Volkswagen Polo at the minute, and Chris is the only one on gravel and tarmac that can show that speed. And unfortunately, yes, he's still making mistakes and that can't go on, but the speed's there and I don't see many other people showing that speed.
No, absolutely. One other thing I wanted to mention, a friend of the show, unfortunately, Tom Cave, had a bit of a Rally Germany to forget, really. I've seen the in-car. I think he just clipped the curb and sent him off wide, and he said it was testament to the strength of the R2 car that's built by M Sport. But obviously, that pretty much put him out of the event, and I think he was home by Saturday evening. And judging by the picture on Twitter where he was surrounded by sheep, he genuinely put that picture up. I'm not taking the mic. I was guessing he was home by that point. But what it does do is we've got Max Vatanen now, who again has finished on the podium every round of that championship, and I think he's only 5 points off the lead and two rounds left to go, and I think he's pretty much fancying it, and we could have another Vatanen as a champion. You know, how about that for a program next year? He's already confirmed for British Championship in an R5 car, and obviously there's a chance that he get an R5 car if he wins the DMAC Drive Trophy. So on paper, he's got a cracking year next year. It's just obviously Tom needs to obviously put pedal to the metal on the next two and get past him. But again, I don't envy Tom at the moment. Obviously, non-scores in one-make championships are never, never good. It's always good to score constantly, as Max has done. But yeah, he seems to be on one, doesn't he?
Yeah, I mean, again, I think at least Tom's shown he's got the pace, and he's certainly not out of the championship yet. And generally, you know, Tom doesn't go off the road, so let's hope that you know, he can still fight for this championship, because it was a last minute deal, as we've talked about with him. It's not easy to fund these programs at this level. You get the impression that if Max Vatanen didn't win it this year, he'll still have a program next year. So fingers crossed that Tom can pull it together. And to be fair to him, it's not just him that gets stuck in a flock of sheep. It happens around here as well.
Does it? Well, what you get up to in your spare time, Ryan Champion, we won't judge you. We're going to have a little cheeky break, and then we're going to come back with Mr. Craig Breen.
Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion. Every Wednesday, 8 till 9 p.m. UK time. All the latest news, views and gossip from the world of rally. Interviews with the biggest names, plus the best comment and insight from people who know their sh**. Find us on Twitter at @absolute_rally and join the debate. Absolute Rally, every Wednesday, 8 till 9 p.m. UK time. Online at Fab Radio International. Absolute Rally.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally, and welcome to Absolute Rally, Craig Breen. Craig?
How do you do?
I'm all right, how are you? I don't know whether you noticed that I completely, mostly tripped over my words, and I called you Craig Breen. So I apologise for that. Nobody else noticed. Somebody's going to listen on the podcast and tweet me and ask me who Craig Breen is. So I'm going to get it out there now. I just thought, do you know what? I'm going to mention it. It's off the table now, and we can move forward with catching up with Craig. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Finished our first day right here, so all is calm and under control. A little bit less stress compared to World Championship right here, so we could, not as many hours in the day.
I know Ryan wants to ask you a couple of things, because obviously Ryan's a stato. I'm not, I just press buttons. But obviously Rally Germany was tough for you with the puncture. You were running, you know, top two, top three in WRC2. Was it just a satisfaction of actually just getting the car home this time round as well, after all the failures that unfortunately you've had?
Yeah, I suppose call a spade a spade, and anything you know, anything that brought us to the finish was going to be positive. You know, because obviously, like you said, Portugal and Finland return on the first morning of the rally, and you know, not even the super rally and get the mileage was a nightmare, return to the World Championship. Even though we had second in Monte Carlo at the start of the year, it was just overshadowed by those two retirements. So yeah, to get to the finish for it was a real relief. We showed a lot of good speed over the weekend. We were just very, very unfortunate in Panda Planet to make a mistake and pick up the puncture. But like you said, we made it to the end, so that was definitely a big move forward.
Because this has been one of those interesting, well, not interesting for you, it's been a nightmare for you, but we've spoke about you quite a bit over the last few weeks. And, you know, whereas drivers, at WRC and various championships around the world, we've kind of went, he's kind of done really well there, but he's kind of done this to himself. It's been quite the opposite for you. You've done your bit, and it has really been, unfortunately, the development of the 208. And I'm led to believe it's something to do with where the oil cooler is on this particular car, and you might be able to enlighten us a little bit on that, but that's kind of been one of the major problems for you, and you've kind of been doing your bit, but unfortunately Santaloc and Peugeot Sports, obviously working together, are working kind of against budgets and stuff like that to try and give you the car to win.
Yeah, you know, it was always going to be difficult. You know, the R5 program in itself, or the R5 category in itself, was a new concept for everyone. And Ford were one of the first to get on the bandwagon and build their car, but Ford Sport were quite early in the building of the car as well, and there was always going to be teething troubles, and there were in the beginning, and they were, we thought, all ironed out. But I think to put blame on anyone, would be unfair. A lot of the time, it's been ridiculously bad luck. In Portugal, some very, very fine dust got into the oil pump, and that caused the failure. And it was just whatever kind of dust was there, it was just small enough to get through all the filters and make its way in. And then the oil pump, instead of being given water, is actually a serial part. It's an off-the-shelf production part, and it was that was given trouble. So it wasn't like somebody put it together wrong in Border Sport. It was a production part that something went wrong somewhere along the way. So. But at the end of the day, it's when it's in competition and the car stops, it's a nightmare. You know, if a car on the side of the motorway stops, you call EA and you get a recovery. Whereas we, for us, it destroyed two events for us. So, but at the end of the day, and I always say it, and I sound like a broken record, I'm a 25-year-old kid with a factory drive, and never ever bite the hand that feeds.
Yeah, and like you said, Craig, absolutely, it's what every young driver dreams of is being in a works car and driving at the level you are and driving at the speed you are. I mean, the good thing is, I guess you've shown speed this year, but I guess now you have to start looking at the future and what's that going to hold? How far along are you with those plans for next year?
Good question, Ryan. We're working very hard. Obviously, we're still. Still a lot of things to do this year. European Championship, obviously, we're here in Lynn this week, and there's still a strong possibility of winning that, even though we've had two retirements in the last two events. We're trying to, trying to win this championship. That will be vitally important in regards to plans for next year. I've enjoyed, some great years with Porsche Sport and the Porsche Rally Academy, but of course, I'd like to move on. I'd like to move on in the World Championship, and that's sort of the reason why we decided to dovetail our two programs this year. I think if the Porsche Rally Academy was to work out in its best way, I would move on next year, and I would do something bigger and better, hence why it's called an academy. We're trying to get some good results in the bag, and then see what offers are there, see what drives are around. But unfortunately, you're only as good as your last results, so we need to try and bang in some good results again. We had them at the start of the year, three wins back to back, but now we need to try and get some solid results again and prove that we can do the job.
Well, like you said, the next step towards that goal is Barham Rally Zlin this weekend, and you've started the recce already. You have some experience previously of the rally. I mean, Germany's very much a unique tarmac rally in its own right, but Rally Zlin is very unique, isn't it?
Yeah, the best way to describe it is the Blair Witch Project in our Rally Camp. That is the only way that I, if you can imagine those creepy forests that are in the Blair Witch Project, if you ever seen that movie, that is pretty much what the rally is like. You're absolutely flat out downhill, at the up and downhill, bumpy, bumpy, narrow tarmac roads in the forest, lots of shiny tar, and a little bit hairy. That's the best way to describe the Barramundi. I love it. It's quite similar to back home, so far the bumps and the narrow parts and changing the surface, but it's so, so specialised, and one of the trickiest rallies that I've ever come across.
Well, before I talk about him, I'll ask your opinion on this as a man who's competed against him. Is it Kopecky or Kopecky? Because there seems to be some debate over it.
I think it's Kopecky. That's right, the way the Eastern Europeans call it. But I think the Paddies are the UK boys. I think Kopecky is a little
more. Well, we'll call him Kopecky for now. But I mean, he's going to be, obviously, he was incredibly fast in Germany. The car's working very well, but he'll take some beating on effectively a home rally, won't he, this weekend?
Yeah, and he's won it a good few times before. And of course, he's the absolute favourite to win the rally here. But everyone is saying, you're fighting for second place here, but there's no point in starting the rally, not thinking that you can beat him. Of course, it's going to be very, very difficult, but, if you start the rally thinking that you're going to finish second, well then, second is the best you're going to do. So we'll give it our best shot, and we'll have to analyse things pretty quickly. Obviously, we've got a qualifying stage on Friday morning and then a street stage on Friday evening. I'm sure we'll know more after that, but it will be a serious tall order for sure.
And I mean, it's not just Kopecky either. I mean, Kajtanovic has been a real star this year, hasn't he? You know, he's gone to new rallies and performed straight away. He's a tough competitor for you.
Yeah, he is. And Kaito's been around for a good few years. He's got a lot of resources behind him. They were a good car and a good team. And he's performed really well. Again, in Ireland the last time he was out on tarmac, I think, he was really, really fast and put it up to us, even though with a lot of difficulty during the event. In the end, we ended up, going to a battle for the last couple of stages. So I'm sure he's going to be a serious package to contend with here. And at the end of the day, it's him we're fighting for the championship. So if Mr. Kopecky or Kopecky or call him what you like, if he drives off into the distance, Kaito is the guy I'm going to have to be worried about. So we'll have to analyze things pretty quickly, I think.
Now, one question that's come in from Rallying UK on Twitter is the ERC finishes in October. Does that mean you'll be out on Wales Rally GB? And if so, what might you be in?
Yeah, I will. I'm really, really looking forward to it. It's part of a WRC2 program. So we'll be there with the 208T16. And I haven't driven in Wales for a long, long time. 2012 was the last time I think I done Rally GB. And as everyone knows, Wales is like a second home to me, a place that's so, so close to my heart, because obviously everyone knows Jaff. It was his home rally, and I spent a lot of time there, and it was always one of the ones rallies that I enjoyed the most. We won our first world title there in 2011 in the academy, and who could ever forget, putting it down to the last stage in Meharon. We had to get a fastest time to win the €500,000 prize. You couldn't script an end of a rally better than that. And really, really, really can't wait to go back there again. Like I said, I've won the world championship classes in SWRC and JWRC there. So I have great, great memories. Looking forward to go back again.
Was the highlight, though, doing stage N last year and talking to me at the back of the field?
It was mega. I absolutely loved it. It was the highlight of my life.
And I can imagine, you don't know how excited I was to meet Craig Breen at stage N.
No, I really enjoyed it. Really, really enjoyed it. And it was fantastic. The front guys and see when they come in and see the emotion and see the adrenaline and see the stuff that I feel when I'm doing it. But I had some great crack with the boys running further back down the field again as well. And some of the one-liners that they were coming out. I remember Wog Utting, I can't pronounce that name probably, Wog Utting, he came to the end of the stage and mentioned something about his wife, what he was going to do that night, and Jeannie Mack, it just completely caught me off the hop, so I'll never forget the experience of that weekend. It was really, really, really fun.
And it gives you its own buzz, doesn't it? When you're waiting for front-running WRC guys to come in, even if you know them, it's still quite a buzz, isn't it, when they pull up and you talk to them literally on the stage finish.
Yeah, it's great. It's great, and then to be honest, it took me a while to free up because I know what it feels like. I know what it feels like when you get to the end of a good stage and you've had a good push and you see your time on the board, and you know, you want to stay there and talk for ages and ages and, you know, tell them how great everything was. But I also know how terrible it feels when you've had a bad stage and the one thing you don't want to do is open your door and talk to the Egypt standing with the microphone. So I did find it a little bit daunting at first, but no, I relaxed a bit then. And you know, I think that I would like to think the drivers were able to talk, but more freely when they knew that I know what it feels like as well when they're in that situation. So it was different for sure. Don't get me wrong; I'd much rather be on the hot and sweaty side of the microphone. Yeah. But I still enjoyed it.
Do you want to rephrase that, Craig? Because that just makes it doesn't sound like you're in a rally car. To be perfectly honest with you, on the hot and sweaty side of a microphone, it just kind of sounds wrong.
Yeah, I said that, and then I went, no, that's probably not the way. Not the right way to word that.
just for good measure, because we know whenever you do this type of stuff, everyone wants to know what you've been listening to on the iPod.
Good question. Very, very good question. Non-music related this week. Non-music related at all. We've kind of worn music out because during the recce, first thing I do when I get in for a haircut at the airport is make sure it's got an MP3. I make sure I can plug my phone in, because if I can't have music, I may as well bring it back. If I have a choice between a Fiat 500 and a Golf GTI, if the Fiat 500 has a capability to play my music through, I pick the Fiat 500. I don't want the best recce car. I just want to play music, because when I'm on a road section, I need something to be listening to. So anyway, I've wore out the music route. So now I'm on the Comedian. You can download these audiobooks from iTunes and listen to comedians, listen to, live performances.
Okay, who are you listening to?
Who did we have? During Germany, we had on the second day Kevin Bridges. Kevin Bridges was very, very good.
Kevin's ace. Kevin's ace. I remember, I worked with him just as he was coming through, and I thought, no, I'm never going to be as good as him. And a bit like when I talk to you, funnily enough. Go on, who else are you listening to?
Kevin Bridges. Then, obviously, Tommy Tiernan. I love Tommy Tiernan. Obviously, famous from Ireland, but Scott wasn't too keen on Tommy Tiernan. So then we settled on, who was after Tommy Tiernan? Oh, Rod Gilbert. Rod Gilbert yesterday.
Rod's ace.
I have to say, I wasn't impressed.
No.
Obviously, Rod Gilbert has that really famous sketch about the Ryanair bag. I presume you've heard that one.
Yeah,
it's epic. And I was waiting, I was hoping that more of it was going to be like that, but no, I didn't like it. And I didn't like they didn't laugh at his own jokes.
I laugh at my own jokes when I do stand up, because nobody else is. But it's true. But let me put you onto one. There's a mate of mine who's from your neck of woods, and you may have heard him, called Neil Delamere. Try and get some of Neil's stuff.
Yeah.
Neil's ace. I've supported Neil when he's been over in the UK, and Neil's ace. So there you go. We've gone off topic a little bit, really, haven't we? I've just realised, but still here. It's turned into more of a chat now, as opposed to talking about rallying. Craig, listen, mate, you've been ace, and thanks so much for coming on as ever, and you always come on, and I really do appreciate, and you're always open and honest, and we really do appreciate it. We've had some listener questions in which you've answered as you've been chatting, and we've all got everything crossed for you this weekend, mate. Go out and get that result, eh?
Mega. Cheers. Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Look after yourself, Craig. See you soon.
Cheers,
mate.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that was Craig Breen. I love having Craig on. It does turn into a chat, though, so you have to be a little bit careful and try and be professional. You sound a lot more professional than me, Ryan, it has to be said. So, Craig, you kind of break into it. I call him Mr. Bean and everything. Right, we're going to do this bit now. We're going to do it a little bit early in the programme. So we're going to do this.
Absolute Rally, where the car is the star. What car is this?
Are you ready? This is one of Ryan's specials.
Tweet your answer to @absolute_rally and you could get on the leaderboard.
And we haven't quite put the leaderboard together yet, it has to be said, but we are going to start doing something with that, because Ryan texted me the other day and said we probably should do something with that. So I always love having Craig on, very informative, and we do genuinely wish him the very, very best of luck for this coming weekend. Now, Ryan Champion, I'm going to ask you about I'm going to ask you about something that you might not be able to answer. Did you mention the other week about having some sounds recorded from your rally car?
I did. I did.
Are we allowed to talk about that?
Yeah, we absolutely are. So Dirt Rally is obviously the new game that's out on pre-release at the minute, which we had Paul on, the chief game designer, feels like a couple of months ago now. But Paul Coleman was on talking about Dirt Rally, which is a game for the enthusiasts. They really want this to be a simulation game, not an arcade-type game. And on the pre-release game that people have been playing online, one of the big criticisms was the sound of the Group A Subaru. They hadn't recorded the sounds of the Group A Subaru. They were actually using one. The sound files they've recorded, I think, from the JRM car. So, yeah, the guys from Codemasters came up and did some sound files on my own Group A Subaru, and they should be on the game soon.
Cool. Now, I know we're not really allowed to ask, but are we going to get it on PlayStation soon? Everyone's crying out for it. I haven't got a PC. I'm not that savvy. Are you?
I think we may have some good news on that subject coming soon, but right, okay. I can't right. possibly answer
right.
that.
We won't answer that then. In the meantime, what we need to do, we need to have a little bit of a promo, and then we're going to come back with Stu Loudon.
Absolute Rally with Tony Simpson and Ryan Champion. Every Wednesday, 8 till 9 p.m. UK time. All the latest news, views and gossip from the world of rally. Interviews with the biggest names, plus the best comment and insight from people who know their Find us on Twitter at @absolute_rally and join the debate. Absolute Rally, every Wednesday, 8 till 9 p.m. UK time. Online at Fab Radio International. Absolute Rally.
And welcome back to Absolute Rally. And welcome to Absolute Rally, Stuart Loudon.
Evening, how are we doing?
We're good. I must admit, there was a panic there when I was sliding faders. I was looking up and I've got Ryan's little cheeky chop staring at me in a Subaru suit. But just a picture of a phone for you. And I thought, is this one going to work? And I'm glad it did. So welcome, first and foremost. Thanks for coming on. And I know Ryan wants to have a quick chat with you. And I'm dying to ask you about China, but I know Ryan's going to ask you about it. Ryan?
Yeah, I am indeed. Good evening, Stu. Good to speak to you.
Yeah, you too, mate.
Yeah, now, two things really here. Obviously, you're taking part in the Chinese Championship with Alistair McRae, and that in its own right is a very competitive championship now. I think you come across some fairly unique stages. But the key thing that I want to ask you about to begin with is the rally that you've just finished, where I believe you finished second, is the candidate rally for the potential WRC China rally. What did you think to the rally, and you know, what can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, we were actually third. I'd love to take the credit for second, but we were actually third. Maybe we'll try and get second on the next one. But no, the rally was really good. The stages are very, very challenging. We used two roads for the rally, and on one day we ran them twice, going one direction, and then the next day we ran them twice going the opposite direction. One was 24Ks, very, very technical, up over a mountain, kind of like Monte Carlo style, with very tight, twisty hairpins and stuff. And then the other one was 21Ks, and just kind of absolutely flat to the back. Kind of, I think we saw about 145 miles an hour in a couple of places. But the roads are very good. As I say, they're very challenging. The organisers are very, very enthusiastic about trying to get to the WRC. There is a few things that need to be done to kind of up their game from national level to WRC level, but I'm sure with help of other organisers, they'll manage that no problem. They've definitely got the resources to do it.
So it's obviously quite important to the manufacturers in the WRC that China is part of the WRC because of the increasing market in China. Although we hear a lot about the Chinese economy at the minute, there's still a massive car market. Just tell us how big the Chinese Championship is in itself.
Well, I mean, this is just my first year there, but in speaking to Alistair and Mark Higgins and Niall McShay, they've seen a tremendous growth in the championship this year. I mean, there's even been two R5s. There's been a Fiesta R5 and a DS3 R5 competing in the championship this year. So that just shows you how strong it is having cars like that brought over there. And they've got the three Golfs, which are essentially like WRC cars that ProDrive built. I mean, and that shows me you've got 300 odd grand a piece, those cars. So that just shows you the resources that teams have got out there.
So there's serious commitment to the championship. Now this event for WRC, I believe, is based in the same area to where the original China Rally took part in 1999, when it was the one and only year it was a round of the WRC. What are the nature of the stages? What would you compare them to?
Yeah, I spoke to Alistair, and he said that the stages in 99 were completely different because it was obviously a gravel event then. Now they've changed it to tar spec. The roads are kind of probably 85% good tarmac, and then maybe kind of 10% concrete, and 5% kind of broke up concrete gravel. And it's a mixture of tight and twisty hairpins, and then some absolutely flat out kind of banzai stuff. But very, very challenging. I wouldn't go another dead easy. It's just point and squirt kind of thing. You really need to think about the stages and kind of watch your tyres, because tyre wear and brakes, especially on the longer stage that we did at the weekend, was a big thing for us.
Now, you said you hit speeds of up to 145 miles an hour, which is incredible on stage. Now, just talk a little bit about this car you're using, because to be fair, when you tweeted a picture earlier this year of the car that you're in, I had no idea what it was.
Yes, the famous Beijing Automotive Company Sonova. It's basically Beijing Automotive Company bought the blueprints for a Saab. I'm sure it was a Saab 9.5. It was either the 9.5 or a 3.5, but I think it was a 9.5. And that's the shell that we're using. And then underneath, it's basically Mitsubishi Evo 10 running gear. It's a Cosworth-built Mitsubishi engine, Hollinger 6-speed sequential gearbox, Teen suspension, and the suspension's actually something pretty special as well, because it's electronic suspension. So as we go over bumps, the suspension kind of adjusts itself to suit the terrain. Which is a bit different, and we've really worked well with Teen as the years go on, and tried to develop this suspension, because I think it's quite a new thing that they've come up with, and as I say, as the events have gone on, it's got better and better for us.
It certainly sounds like an interesting development path. I mean, it's something we see in road cars, obviously, but not something we normally see in rally cars. What about from your personal point of view then? Obviously, you're in China at the minute. Are we going to see you back out on WRC events? Are we going to see you back in Europe soon?
It would be awesome. At the moment, I don't have any concrete plans for the rest of the year other than China. Unfortunately, with the accident that Keith and I had in Portugal, that's kind of absolutely destroyed the budget, and there's just no immediate prospect for getting out the rest of the year. You never know, something might crop up, but at the moment I've just been looking about to see if there was anything else going for the rest of this year, and then try and look at next year as well. So I've been handing my CV about, and I was out in Finland as well, meeting and greeting a few people, so hopefully I'll maybe be able to tie something up for maybe the rest of the year. But I'm really enjoying the rallying, you know, out in China. It's such a challenge, but it's good fun. It's really good crack with the lads, like Alistair, Mark and Niall, and then Mark's co-driver Dan, and Niall's co-driver Rory Kennedy. I mean, they're just really good crack, and these guys have got loads of experience, but it's really enjoyable as well. So I'm missing not being in the World Championship, but I'm really enjoying the stuff in China.
Do you see China, Stu, as all part of the learning curve to bring back to the table? Of obviously, you've said you've been around on WRC events, and you know we're back in the realms of, you know, British co-drivers, or should I say Scottish? I don't know where I'm at with this. Should I say Scottish? Am I all right with British? I always say very close to the rim with these flag issues. British co-drivers seem to gaining a little bit of respect again. You know, obviously, you've got Dan there, we've got Seb Marshall there. Obviously, we've got Paul Nagel there as well now. And, you know, we seem to be the co-drivers to go for. Is that a help to you, having those guys there? Do those guys kind of open up doors almost?
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, these three guys that you've mentioned are good friends of mine. And, I mean, Seb especially. Seb's, when I first kind of came into the WRC scene, Seb was one of the guys who immediately kind of helped me and gave me loads of pointers, and he still does. And to see the likes of him and Dan in the last couple of years move up to WRC car level, like works team level, that's really given me a bit of a kick to try and get there as well. And they're always on the lookout, and they say, oh, if they hear anything, they'll let me know, and that's always comforting to know. And being out in China as well, that may open some doors for next year. You just never know. You've just got to keep your ear to the ground and hope that something comes up.
Of course, I also forgot Scott Martin there after just having Craig Breen on. So, Scott, if you're listening. I've just been reprimanded via text message by Ryan Champion. I get shouted at via text message during this programme. It's unbelievable.
Do you want to explain the second part of the message as well?
Yeah, I will. Nagel is definitely Irish.
Oh, yeah.
Probably not British. Yeah,
I did say British and Irish.
Yeah, okay, yeah. We're not getting to flag issues, like you said.
Well, yeah. You cause trouble in empty house, you Ryan Champion. Right. Stuart, it's been lovely having you on. Ryan wanted me to ask you about your day job, but I've got a funny feeling you don't want to talk biscuits.
You ask me whatever you want about my day job. It's not a problem. Anything you want.
See, I used to listen to a programme called Fighting Talk, and they used to have this thing, Sportsman as Biscuits.
And yep.
I don't know if you're familiar with that program at all, but I would like you to name a rally driver as a biscuit.
Name a rally.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you've got obviously you've got other brands are available. Obviously, you've got your Hobnob who just keeps going. You dip him and dip him and dip him, and he's still there for you. He's still there. He'll always give you a result. I'm thinking possibly like maybe an Ogier. I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit more sophisticated than a Hobnob.
I've really got to try and keep with my own brand here, don't I?
That's absolutely true.
And can I just point out there was a nice bit of product placement in Coronation Street tonight? I was impressed with that.
Yeah. Oh, does the wife have you watching Coronation Street?
Yes, of course. Yeah. Absolutely.
So, rally driver.
Right, that's something that I'll need to come back to.
Okay, all right. Well, you come back to us on Twitter. That'll be fine. Or you can come back on the show, whatever. You know, maybe this could be a feature. A Tunix tea cake as a rally driver.
I was going to say, who is the tea cake? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's a compliment. But anyway,
probably be me. Stu, thanks so much, mate. Thanks for coming on, and you're always welcome. And when are you back out in China next?
Back out in China at the end of September. And this is we're going to Chengzhou this time, which is the team's home rally. So looking forward to that. Hopefully it'll be nice to get in the podium again. So fingers crossed.
Well, have a cracker, mate. Say hello to the boys for us. I haven't spoken to Niall for a little while. I used to speak to him quite a bit. So say hello to Niall for us. And
yeah, we'll do.
We'll catch up very, very soon, Stu.
Perfect. Much appreciated. Thanks
Good
very much.
To talk to you.
Good night.
Cheers.
God bless. See you soon, Stu. Ta-da, mate.
Cheers. Speak to you later, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
I don't think you can talk cracker either, because that's another brand, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. See what I've started now?
Yeah.
Do you know what? You're going to text me about 11:30 tonight and think of what? I know what you're like now, right? And I'll get a text message randomly. Jaffa cake. Is it really a biscuit, though? Oh. Right, we're going to go to a quick break, and then we're going to come back with... it must be a bit of a Peugeot thing tonight. We're going to come back with Chris Ingram.
Team Coordinate, your perfect travel partner for all your European, Manx and Irish motorsport travel. Whether you're a competitor, marshal or a motorsport fan, we have the connections and discounts available for ferry travel to and from the UK. Team Coordinate, we can cater for individuals, teams or group bookings. Working with organisers of race, rally and classic touring events, we take away the hassle of travel with bikes, cars, trailers and and trucks, accompanied or unaccompanied. Team coordinate. Call Dane or Donna now on 441904 766 787 or email us on info@teamcoordinate.com.
Welcome back to Absolute Rally. Yeah, so we're going to catch up with Chris very, very shortly. We're just waiting for the cup and string to work and all the things to connect and everything else. And then we're going to have, as I say, a bit of a Peugeot feel tonight. So we're going to have Chris, who is currently lying fourth in the European Rally Championship in the junior section. But obviously the championship has already been decided. But we thought we'd have a chat with Chris. Chris came on one of the very first programmes I put together from this studio. So welcome to Absolute Rally, Chris Ingram.
Hi, how's it going?
We're really good. Have you been listening?
Yeah, I've just been at a presentation at the Barham HQ, so I listened early on a bit with Craig, but I've missed some parts.
You've missed a really important part of when we did Rally Drivers as Biscuits.
Yeah.
I'll leave you to think about that one. So, Chris, good on you. You're out in Barham. I'll be honest with you, I'm meant to have a quick quiz. Where are you at with your programme now? Are you out there competing?
Yeah, it's the last round of the junior ERC, so we're in a big battle with five other drivers for the runners-up spot, so it's going to be really exciting.
Obviously, we've just had Craig on saying, obviously, the recce's been quite relaxed for those guys after WRC. How has the recce been for you?
Yeah, I forgot how nice the stages were here, really, and the weather's awesome over here. It's boiling hot. I really like the place and looking forward to getting back out because I've not had much seat time lately. So
I was about to say, it's been quite a big break for you, hasn't it? I was having a quick look, not in a stalky way, but I was looking at some of your pictures earlier on and looking at obviously some of the rallies you've done recently. It's got to be probably 2 months, isn't it, since you've been in the car?
Well, we did Ypres and Estonia and had problems on both, unfortunately, so retired halfway through each event. So I've not finished since Azores, which is 3 months ago now.
Wow.
So hopefully, because I know if we can get to the finish, then we can do a good result, but just need a bit of luck back on our side now.
Yeah. I have to ask you, obviously, you've proudly carried the colours of Peugeot UK, which has been great for you, obviously, to give you a little bit of profile and everything else. Do you feel now, to some degree, in hindsight, that that's kind of put a target on your back a little bit?
There's a lot of expectation because of the heritage of not just Peugeot, but Peugeot UK with Chris Meek doing so well. So there is quite a lot of pressure, but that's what you dream of, isn't it? To get back by a manufacturer. So just got to get on with it. And it's been a year now since I've been with them, and we've achieved a lot already. So it's all been going. It's been a dream come true, and living the dream, working hard, and keep improving all the time. So
good man.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Good man. With regards to, obviously, the championship is already decided now. Obviously, I think it was, what's the young man's name? Is it Emil
Bergqvist? Yeah,
Bergqvist in the. I nearly called it a Corsa. Then it's not. It's an Opel Adam, isn't it? God, that's, I'm showing my age a little bit. In the Opel Adam. Now, with regards to, obviously, I don't know what, obviously, the situation is. He now gets an R5 car, doesn't he, for five rounds, is it, for the ERC for next year?
No. Is it maybe one round, but I'm not sure if Opel are actually going to let him drive in Peugeot.
Ah,
we'll see.
Okay, right, okay. I didn't realise that situation. How does that affect your plans now? Because we've just been talking to Craig Breen, of course, and obviously Craig's, while he's got a busy programme, obviously you have to be thinking ahead and you have to be thinking about, obviously, next season. Have you already started making plans?
Yeah, there's a lot of ideas, and we want to do Rally GB again because obviously there's a big gap towards the end, before next season. So hopefully we're going to do Rally GB. I've had a pretty good record there, so it's always a dream to do that event.
Well, obviously I'll be there, so I'll be acting as road sweeper. So you won't have any Ryan's opening, I think. Aren't you opening, right?
Yeah, I'm zero car. So I'll,
Ryan's
I'll
zero be, car. I'll be, I'm last car. So you'll be an absolute rally sandwich.
Awesome. I'll find some good lines then.
Do you know what, mate? Genuinely, and I've said this a lot, and I've encountered a lot of young drivers over the years. That sounds dodgy. I don't mean in a Jimmy Savile way, but I've encountered a lot of young drivers over the years, and your enthusiasm the first year you did Rally GB, it was the first year I actually did it as well, is still something that sticks with me, and that's exactly how a young driver should feel about to do a World Championship rally. And you were grinning from ear to ear when we were stood on a freezing cold Llandudno front.
And it's so special, isn't it?
It is, and I'm so, so glad. With everything that's gone on, you still feel that way. I genuinely mean that, mate. I genuinely mean that.
Oh, yeah.
So, listen, I'm not going to keep you. I wanted to wish you all the best, obviously, for the weekend, and obviously wish you all the best for your plans. We said we were going to get you back on. Go and get a win, mate, and we'll have you on next week. We'll talk about a win, eh?
Awesome, man. Good plan. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, you look after yourself, Chris. Take it easy, mate.
See you soon. Cheers.
Bye-bye. And that was Chris Ingram. So, which brings us quite neatly round to a quite a chilled out finish to the programme, I feel, because I wanted to have a bit of a relaxed end to this particular programme. You didn't have anything for Chris, did you, Ryan?
I had several questions for him, but we'll get him back on and we'll talk again.
Well, I wanted to give him a G up, to be honest with you. I know he's had a bit of a tough couple of events, so I thought, you know, we'll do that. Let's give him a bit of a G up and let's get him on his way, because, you know, we bloody what's just happened there, Ryan?
That was nothing to do with me. I think that was my wife downstairs, so she's still moving around, so I think
That sounded like your wallet.
Unfortunately not. That's sat in front of me. That's
good Yorkshireman. A good Yorkshireman.
But no, I mean, what would be interesting is obviously Chris is in a Peugeot back program. Peugeot UK have had a big input into the IRC, as it was, and then the forerunner to the European Championship. If Craig was moving on from the Peugeot Academy, could there be a place there for Chris Ingram? You know, it'd be interesting to see.
I know Chris has tested that car, hasn't he?
Yes, I believe he has. It'll be interesting to see what goes on with the Peugeot Academy, won't it?
I think it will. I still, you know, I mentioned it, and obviously Craig being the perfect gentleman he is, and obviously we all hear things, it's what rallying's all about. It is like the smallest village in the world, rallying, in many ways. And you know, you hear different things about, you know, homologation on the car and things like that, and you know, whether it is the R5 car to have when it's actually going well. And obviously you've now got Skoda, seems to be, you know, that Skoda seems to be on the same level as what the Skoda Super 2 car was, you know, compared to all the other Super 2 cars now, even though there's a lot of R5 Fiestas out there. You know, the DS R5, I don't think there's too many of those out there. And again, I know it shares a lot of common components with the Peugeot 208, and maybe that's one of the reasons that perhaps, you know, they're sharing issues almost, but they don't seem to be sorting the issues out. And I don't know, you know, I think sometimes would it be a good move? Would it be a poison chalice if it's a car that is potentially not going to work for you? I don't know.
It's possibly, but you would hope that somebody like Peugeot Sport, and not just Peugeot Sport, like you said, Citroën Sport as well, because there does seem to be problems across the board on both cars, and they definitely do share components. The thing is, though, it never seems to be just the same thing. There's gearbox problems, there's engine problems, there's minor problems as well. But you would hope that between those two companies that they would get the car right. And I'm sure if Chris got the opportunity to drive that car in an official program, he would jump at the chance. But it is interesting, like you said, Skoda have come in, brand new car, and it does already seem to be the one to have. It seems to be the fastest car, and it seems to be the one to beat.
We've just had somebody tweet in about Rally Drivers' Biscuits.
Go on.
This is from Sherry Lee Law, who's always listened. Evening, Sherry Lee. Rally Biscuits, absolute rally. Chris Ingram, what's for tea? Ingram, bakey cakes. Well, I have to stop this. Apologies, it's Tony's fault. I've got no idea, Sherry Lee, where you were going with that. That's a biscuit cul-de-sac. And it's a biscuit, as far as I'm concerned, doesn't exist. So you're making up biscuits now. That's not allowed. That's not allowed. You can't make up biscuits. They've got to be factual biscuits. Passionate about me biscuits. I'll tell you who else has tweeted in. Jason Anthony, have you seen this video of the Marcus Grunholm in the Polo?
Yes, I have seen that, and it's a bit ominous, isn't it, that the most dominant team in world rallying have their 2017 car testing now. It's a bit of a worry, isn't it, for everybody else?
Yeah, and Marcus Grunholm working on the programme as well. Let's not, when you bowl that into it as well, you know, it's just like the perfect. And knowing the way Volkswagen work and the way they did it, obviously when they were getting the team ready, running Ogier in the Skoda, that will be a completely and utterly standalone team, no doubt. That'll be completely and utterly nothing to do with the current factory team in any way, shape or form. It'll almost run autonomous on its own as a test team. And, you know, that the likes of your M Sports, etc., could only dream of being in that situation, I'm sure. And that's, I guess, where the differences do start to show.
Yeah, I mean, it does show the strength and depth that they have. And, you know, FX, the engineer there, I read an article, it was only last week, he said something along the lines of, I think we know enough to, you know, to go ahead with our planning. And then suddenly there's a car out testing. It is an incredible feat that they've got that car out already and, you know, gaining a huge advantage over the opposition. Let's not forget Hyundai are still trying to develop the 2016 car, which is brand new. Volkswagen are now on the 2017 car.
Yeah, that again, that's where the difference comes in. I think it's not the only positive. It would be a terrible thing to say the only positive. The thing is, we know Volkswagen are sticking around now, and I would like to think that will pull other people in as well. Obviously, we've all got our doubts, and I think, you know, Jules, you made reference to it last week, obviously, with Citroën's planning, and by all accounts, Citroën, with the research that they have done, feel that rallying does give more coverage than the Touring Car Programme, even with two French drivers in, and the feeling is perhaps that Sebastian Loeb Racing will take the Touring Car Programme, and perhaps that will put more emphasis then back into the WRC team. What's your thoughts? And I've never asked you this. What's your thought on Loeb coming back?
Unlikely, isn't it? Certainly from a full season, or certainly for a full season, I should say. I could definitely see him coming back and doing odd rallies as he did with Monte Carlo. But, you know, at the end of the day, he stopped competing on the WRC because he didn't want to be away from home for so long. He didn't want to be competing on so many events, and it's difficult for him to difficult to believe he'll have had a full change of heart and he's going to take on a full program. So if he comes back, I think it will just be for selected rallies.
I hope it doesn't happen. I know it's a weird thing to say, but I don't.
I think the longer it goes on, the harder it'll be for him to come back and be competitive. You know, he hasn't had the mileage in the car recently, and Ogier's getting faster and faster. The car's getting better and better. There's no two ways about it. The Volkswagen is a better car than the Citroën at the minute, and it would be very difficult for him to compete directly with Ogier. I could be wrong, and I'm sure a lot of people will tell me I'm wrong, but I think the longer he's out of the sport, the more difficult it will be for him to come back.
Do you know what I love about doing this programme and the people who listen to it? Lucy Thompson's just tweeted him. Now, Lucy Thompson, if memory serves, is Chris Ingram's lovely girlfriend, who actually I've met a couple of times, and she's just tweeted in saying, Chris has been invited to test the T16 again with Peugeot Sport next week. So there you go, we've got the answer to that question. So there you go, Chris Ingram's missus tweeting in. I hope it still is his missus, why it could cause a bit, it cuts in as a bit of a, could be a bit of a Jeremy Kyle episode next weekend if he comes back on. But anyway, there you go.
Live information, and the other, I tell you, the other interesting bit of testing today was Jenson Button in a Mini, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know a little bit. Well, I don't know whether I know a little bit. Obviously, I think it's to do with the TV program, because obviously Coulthard's been involved with it as well. But I know the guys down at Lydon very, very well. Willie Woods down there, he runs it, and I know they were, and especially Shelley, who runs the Retro Rallycross, and I think there was a Beetle in the background of that shot as well, and that was actually John Button's Beetle, which a guy now does Retro Rallycrossing, and so I've got a funny feeling it's all kind of connected with that. But
I think I read something earlier on, I don't know, somewhere on social media anyway, that you're absolutely right, and they'd both driven the Beetle, and I think Coulthard had also had a go in Liam Doran's DS3 as well, so look forward to seeing some of that action on TV.
It would be good, it would be good. At this point, I'm going to do this, because we're getting towards the end of the show, so if any other business, we've got 35 seconds, Ryan Champion. Is there anything else you want to say to the world of rallying that are listening to Absolute Rally, both live and via the podcast, of course?
Well, that we'll obviously be back next week after Barham Rallies Lynn, and it'll be an interesting one. It can be a tricky rally. Craig didn't talk about his test a couple of days ago, but it was quite wet. A lot of slippery, shiny tarmac and a lot of big trees. So it's a tricky rally, and it'll be interesting to see what happens.
And that is the end of Absolute Rally. Thanks, Ryan. Catch up next week, mate.
Thank you. Well done.
God bless.